Hey everyone, husband here.
And I'm wife. If you've been listening to us, then you know we're all about reading the Bible and reacting to it on our first read-through. Cuss words, crying, laughing, and more.
We're passionate about creating a podcast that takes the sanctity out of the sacred text and simply stating it as we see it.
But we can't do it without your help. We're asking for your support to help us keep this podcast going.
There are two ways you can donate.
Text SACDIS, that's SACDIS, to 533-555 if you're in the U.S. with a one-time donation. Any amount helps.
Or if you'd rather start a sustaining membership, sign up on our Patreon page at patreon.com/sacrilegiousdiscourse. Membership levels start as low as $2 a month.
We are amazed and grateful for our fans that support us now, and you can become one too.
With your support, we can keep Sacrilegious Discourse alive and well for years to come.
So please donate today.
Text SACDIS to 533-555 if you're in the U.S.
Or sign up for our Patreon page at patreon.com/sacrilegiousdiscourse. Welcome to Sacrilegious Discourse.
I'm husband.
And I'm wife.
Together we're reading the Bible for the very first time.
We grew up without religion and wanted to know what all the fuss was about.
Well, what have we learned so far?
That God is a dick. And apparently some people believe in talking donkeys?
We're not trying to pass ourselves off as experts.
Nope, we're just reading the Bible for the first time and giving our first take reaction.
If you'd like to join us in this venture, you might consider starting at episode 1.
Otherwise, jump in wherever you like.
Alright, let's go read the Bible.
Yeah, let's get to it. Husband!
Wife!
Do you remember what happened yesterday and where the hell we are today?
Well, we just got done reading Jeremiah chapter 43.
Sure as fuck did.
And in that chapter, the remnants, the people who were left in Judah, mm-hmm. Were running away to Egypt, and mm-hmm. they stopped to ask Jeremiah, like, what the fuck?
Mm-hmm. And what should we do?
Yeah.
Can you ask your God?
Then they decided after, you know, weighing it all over and deciding that he might be a traitor, to just go ahead and go on into to Egypt.
Even though Jeremiah was like, you guys should totally not go into Egypt.
Right. So then they were like, yeah, fuck you. And also, we don't want you running back to them. So we're going to take you with us regardless of whether you want to go or not.
Because you and Baruch are total sus.
Yeah, yeah. You guys are definitely spies, fuckers.
Yeah.
And I don't disagree.
Right.
I mean, I'm totally with them on this.
Yeah, we saw this coming a mile away.
Right.
And then the people caught up to us and were like, hey, are you spies?
Right, right. And then they got to Egypt and then Jeremiah started hiding stones.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was like, my buddy Nebuchadnezzar is going to come and get you. Ha ha.
Basically. Yeah, that basically happened.
And that was pretty much what happened in Jeremiah chapter 43.
Yes, that is.
So that being said, what are we getting into today?
Jeremiah chapter 44.
All right, let's do this.
Okie dokie.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
All right, we are hopping into Jeremiah chapter 44.
Okay.
Okay, got a couple of notes before we dive in.
Okay.
And one of them's really interesting.
Okay.
Okay, here's the boring one. This chapter is part of a narrative consisting of chapters 37 to 44.
Which this is the last one.
Yes.
Of that narrative. Not of Jeremiah.
Correct.
Jeremiah continues.
But, interestingly enough, this is chronologically the last episode of Jeremiah's ministry.
Oh.
He delivers his last little speech to the people
okay.
in this chapter.
Interesting.
Which we still have like 10 chapters left, so I don't understand.
Right. Yeah, I'm a little confused about that.
Right. So, but, you know, stay tuned. I guess we will see what happens, question
sure.
mark?
Yeah.
All right. So here we go, diving into chapter 44. The word that came to Jeremiah concerning all the Jews who dwell in the land of Egypt, who dwell at Migdol, at Tapanhes, at Noph, and in the country of Pathros. These are all various places in Egypt
sure.
that I'll get to in a minute.
Okay.
Saying, so this is God talking,
yeah.
according to Jeremiah.
Right.
Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel.
Mm.
You have seen all the calamity that I have brought on Jerusalem and on all the cities of Judah. And behold, this day they are a desolation and no one dwells in them because of their wickedness, which they have committed to provoke me to anger. Yeah, that's why they did it.
Yeah.
It wasn't because they were just trying to live their own lives and do their own thing. They were on purpose trying to antagonize you because it's always about you, God.
If they really were fearful of this God and believed that Jeremiah was telling the word of God,
mm-hmm.
they would have run right back to fucking Jerusalem.
Jerusalem.
Because that's what Jeremiah told them to do. But obviously, they don't fear this God,
right.
or they wholly don't believe Jeremiah.
Right.
You know, like, one of those two things is true, or both.
Mm-hmm.
This is not about God and their idea of God. It's their trust level of what Jeremiah is telling them,
mm-hmm.
or not, you know?
Like, yeah.
That's really what this boils down to, because God's not talking to them.
Exactly. So God continues, because of their wickedness, blah, 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 in which they committed to piss me off.
Yeah.
In that they went to burn incense and to serve other gods whom they did not know, they nor you nor your fathers.
Okay. Okay.
So now that they're in Egypt, they're already at it again with their.
But they've literally never stopped.
Literally. Yeah. However, I have sent to you all my servants, the prophets, rising early and sending them saying, oh, do not do this abominable thing that I hate. But they did not listen or incline their ear to turn from their wickedness, no incense to other gods.
I think that maybe Jeremiah was not a morning person. He always mentions how he's rose early,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you don't mention that if it's easy for you to do.
Right.
So I don't think he liked getting up early in the morning. So he was like, I'm getting up early for you fucks.
Yeah.
To tell you this word of God stuff.
Yeah.
So you better fucking listen.
Exactly. So my fury and my anger were poured out and kindled in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, and they are wasted and desolate as it is to this day. Okay. So let me get into some notes here.
Okay.
Ready?
Yep.
So verse one is Jeremiah's final message to the Judeans living in various places throughout Egypt.
Okay.
Okay.
Yep.
And therefore, the Jerusalem Bible suggests that this introduction to Jeremiah's final prophecy represents a message being addressed to the whole Jewish diaspora in Egypt, not just to the remnants that he was standing with.
Got it. So okay. There was people there prior to them even running
Yeah.
People had already fled to Egypt.
Yes.
Right.
Correct.
Okay.
And this message is thought to have been delivered in the 17th or 18th year after the taking of Jerusalem.
Okay.
So they've been there like a couple,
yeah.
one or two decades now.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
Yeah. Like settling in.
Okay. Yeah.
Tapanhes, like we said last time, is Daphne, and that was the first border point in Egypt.
Okay. All right.
And then Noph is Memphis in Lower Egypt. Pathros is in Upper Egypt.
Okay.
Okay. So there's that. And let's see. Just trying to see where my next set of notes are so I see
sure.
how far I should read.
Right.
Okay. Now, therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, why, assholes, do you commit this great evil against yourselves to cut off from you man and woman, child and infant, out of Judah, leaving none to remain, and that you provoke me to wrath with the works of your hands, burning incense to other gods in the land of Egypt where you have gone to dwell, that you may cut yourselves off and be a curse and a reproach among all the nations of the earth. Like, all the other nations give a fuck.
Right. Well, I'm actually a little confused, honestly, because like early on the message was turn yourselves over to Babylon, right?
Mm-hmm.
And give yourselves up and you'll live in this other land for 70 years
mm-hmm.
and then you'll return to Judah, right? Mm-hmm. And now he's like, why did you leave Judah? Well, it was because you told us to, not to Egypt, but like he told the Israelites that they were going to be out of their land for 70 years.
Yes, but out of their land given over to Babylon.
Right, sure, but it's still taken over by Babylon. They just happen to be in Egypt. They're still out of their fucking land.
Okay, I'm not really following you. Say it again.
I'm saying that he's saying, why haven't you stayed in Judah?
Right.
Why haven't you occupied this place mm-hmm. that I have, you know, procured for you and your people?
Mm-hmm.
He's literally the one that was, regardless of where they went, regardless of how they didn't listen to him to go down to Babylon or whatever, there was like earlier on when we were reading through Jeremiah, he was saying that I'm going to kick your asses out of Jerusalem for 70 years.
Right.
Now,
the majority
in this
them.
Last few chapters, yes, we've had this little like, oh, some of you get to stay, this remnant gets to stay, but then they decide not to stay. But that wasn't the original plan. The original plan was y'all are going to go away. I'm going to burn this place to the ground. And we're going to start over.
Oh, so you're saying since God didn't go ahead and burn them all anyway, who gives a shit where the
right.
remnant
yeah.
lives?
Yeah.
Okay. So I read in notes that he always says all when what he really means is most.
You would think, though, a God could be very clear about what he wants and what he says.
You would think. You would think. And I'm also like, oh, so are we interpreting God's word again? Are we doing that thing
right.
where we're like, this is what God actually meant.
Right. It's whatever's convenient at any given
yeah,
time, right?
Yeah. And I'm like, I thought we weren't supposed to do that.
Right.
And what makes you think that you know that?
Yeah.
Like, why do you get to decide? That's what he really means.
I still ask that of people that believe in God today. Like, there is all kinds of people that have all, like, there's literally as many people as there are that are religious.
Mm-hmm.
There's that many fucking opinions about what God is and what it means.
Yeah.
I mean, there is literally no way to talk to someone who is a religious person in any real meaningful sense because you can't actually hold them to account for any idea.
Right.
That is dispersed through the Bible or through their religion or through their,
well, because
their church even.
If they 100% believe everything in the Bible, then you're talking to somebody who legit believes in talking donkeys and all the other bullshit, nonsense, magical things
right.
that happened. And that, you know, there have been like angels that came down and that like floating whatever what have you.
Sure.
And I'm like, okay, so we have nothing to talk about here. If you believe in all of that magical woohoo stuff, like, we can't even start to talk.
Right, but like,
and then if they're like, no, those are just allegories, then the question is, okay, but why are you deciding that?
Right.
Like, it all happened or it didn't happen is the first question. And whichever way you go, you're wrong.
But even if they believed in talking donkeys, even if they believed in all the crazy shit, right?
Mm-hmm.
If they would just hold to it,
mm-hmm.
if they would say, yes, this is 100% what Christianity is, right?
Mm-hmm.
It would be easier to talk to Christians as a whole and
right.
say, you know, I don't think that's correct.
Let's
you know?
Talk about how your God did this and your
right,
God did
right.
that. But it's
but
always
there's always
like,
backpedaling.
Yeah.
There's always, you know, there's always some sort of a
you read that
excuse.
Wrong. You took it out of context.
Yes.
You just don't get it. Or ours is not to know.
Right.
Like, that's the ultimate get-out-of-jail-free
yeah,
card.
Yeah, there is no, you can't actually confront someone who believes because they don't.
It's not even confronting. It's, like, trying to find an actual fucking answer.
Right.
It's not confrontation.
Yeah, and I think that's my biggest, like, even when I was searching for answers about God when I was younger, I was not ever satisfactorily able to come up with anybody to give me an answer.
Right.
Because they don't, they're so scared of the answer, they can't even give you the answer because they don't know what the fucking answer is either.
No. And so the answer is just always, oh, you're asking too many questions and, you know, you're not coming at this with the right heart. And I'm like, what is the right heart? Can you define that? And
it's then they're not like, questioning. That's what it is.
Right. Exactly.
You're not supposed to question.
But I don't understand. Like, right. Then what is it I'm believing again? Tell me.
Why would God create a whole, you know, world of people who have the ability and crave the ability to question things and then expect you not to do it? Right. With regard to him.
Well, my thing is, okay, so let's say I go into this without questioning. You spell out on a paper, a list, exactly what I'm supposed to believe.
Right.
And get 25 Christians to all agree from different denominations, right?
Yeah.
Yes. If you believe these 25 things, then you are believing in God and you are a Christian.
Right.
That's not going to happen.
I guarantee you that 25 out of 25 Christians believe that atheists are wrong.
Yes.
That's I can guarantee that.
The only thing that they will agree on. And the Bible is God's word. But
right.
even at that, but some of them say it's 100% true.
Sure.
Some of them say it's 100% allegory.
It's a very nuanced argument because you'd never know even with just that.
Right.
What you're talking to someone about. Like what they mean by that. What they are trying to convey with that. So.
Right. So, like, I don't get the, you just have to believe. And I'm just like, believe what exactly now?
Right.
Seriously, I'm not asking to be a smartass. I literally don't know what it is you're asking me in God. But what is that?
Right.
How, I don't know what you're asking me to believe.
And have you ever noticed how every other Christian that you bring up that you're like, well, I've heard it differently over here. They're like, well, those aren't true Christians. And I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ.
Nobody's a true Christian.
Right. Didn't you like, know? You're the only one, man. You're the only one.
Yep. That's magic.
Right? There. Yeah, that's some magic.
Yeah. I'm surprised that your fucking toilet throne doesn't float.
Yeah. Millions of fucking only right Christians. Mm-hmm. It's amazing.
Yeah. Anyway, continuing
on. Yeah, sorry.
This is God talking. Have you forgotten the wickedness of your fathers? The wickedness of the kings of Judah, the wickedness of their wives, your own wickedness, and the wickedness of your wives, which they committed in the land of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem. They have not been humbled to this day, nor have they feared.
You just killed a shit ton of them. I think some of them were humbled.
Well, this is like 20 years later.
Still, you know? They like killed them within a life, later. You know, within a generation.
But these people they're like, whatever, I'm settling in.
All right.
Okay. You know, that was yesteryear.
Right.
You know?
All right.
They have not walked in my law or in my statutes that I set before you and your fathers. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold! I will set my face against you, bitches.
Again.
For catastrophe and for cutting off all Judah. And I will take the remnant of Judah who have set their faces to go into the land of Egypt to dwell there. And they shall all be consumed and fall in the land of Egypt.
It's funny. It's only taken him, what you said, about 17 years to get to the point where he's going to actually follow through with this plan.
Yeah.
Those rocks that Jeremiah set there at the entrance, they sat there for a long fucking time.
Right.
I'm just saying.
Well, I mean, God's timeline is so much longer than ours.
Right, right, yeah.
A blink of his eyes is, checking my watch, about 17 years for us.
Meanwhile, half the people that Jeremiah threatened with those stones are probably already dead. And they're like, well, that never came to pass.
Exactly.
So,
they shall be consumed by the sword and by famine. They shall die from the least to the greatest by the sword and by famine. And they shall be an oath, an astonishment, a curse, and a reproach. This sounds familiar. We read
really
this last night.
I mean, honestly, God spends more time killing Israelites than anybody else.
It's true.
So.
For I will punish those who dwell in the land of Egypt as I have punished Jerusalem by the sword, by famine, and by pestilence.
Mm-hmm.
You know those things? So that none of the remnant of Judah who have gone into the land of Egypt to dwell there shall escape or survive, lest they return to the land of Judah, to which they desire to return and dwell. For none shall return except those who escape.
Yeah. If you choose to return
before
I kill you.
The remnant of the remnant.
Right.
There's going to be a remnant of the remnant.
If you run away opposite, then we're going to be good.
Yeah.
But
I'll let them go.
Yeah.
If you escape, you escape. I mean, what? Correct. True.
Yes.
Okay. Then all the men. Oh, God's done talking now.
Okay.
Now we're saying what happens next.
Sure.
Jeremiah's like, boom, I laid down the law 15 years later, bitches. Like,
you said the same shit for how many decades before?
You're still alive? Yeah, right? Oh my God.
This guy's still talking, man.
Right? Okay. Then all the men who knew that their wives had burned incense to other gods, with all the women who stood by, a great multitude, and all the people who dwelt in the land of Egypt and Pathros, answered Jeremiah, saying, as for the word that you have spoken to us in the name of the Lord, shit, we will not listen to you, but we will certainly do whatever has gone out of our own mouth to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven and pour out drink offerings to her.
I'm assuming this is a different god.
Not quite.
Okay.
As we have done, we and our fathers, our kings and our princes in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem. For then, they're talking about like the good old days.
Okay.
Like back before Josiah overturned everything and tried to straighten up and get rid of all the pagan stuff.
Okay. Yeah.
For them, we had plenty of food. We were well off and we saw no trouble. But since we stopped burning incense to the Queen of Heaven and pouring out drink offerings to her, we have lacked everything and have been consumed by the sword and by famine. So the men are like, bring it. What the fuck ever.
Right.
That's all we had.
Who the fuck is the Queen of Heaven?
Oh, I'm going to get there.
Okay. Right.
The women also said, shit, and when we burned incense to the Queen of Heaven and poured out drink offerings to her, did we make cakes for her to worship her and pour out drink offerings to her without our husband's permission? So the men are like, we've been doing this shit for ages, so back off. And then the women are like, and we didn't have a choice. Our husbands kind of made us, so we're fine.
Right.
All
right,
so let's get into this. Okay. Let's talk about the Queen of Heaven.
Right. Yeah.
This is a title given to a number of ancient sky goddesses worshipped throughout the ancient Mediterranean and the ancient Near East.
Okay.
Goddesses known to have been referred to by this title include Inanna, Anat, Inanna, Isis, Nut, Astarte, and Asherah.
Ah.
Here we go, right?
Okay. Well, you know, it's funny, though, like, if we go back to some of the hypotheses earlier on, Asherah was often attributed to being...
The wife of El.
The wife of El, which is God, essentially,
if
you bring all this forward, right?
So they've just gone back to their roots is all.
They never left them, though. Like, that's the part that I keep trying to say as we're reading through this, because from what I am understanding from the general populace of Israel... is that these folks never really moved out of their pagan roots.
Right, exactly.
They just, like, maybe they've refined some of their thoughts with regard to what God is and what God isn't, but they've never given up their pagan roots.
No, they never did. You're correct. You are correct.
Yeah.
Astarte is the name of a goddess as known from northwestern Semitic regions, equivalent... would be the goddess Ishtar in Mesopotamian texts.
I've heard that name before. Mm-hmm. I think maybe we've even brought that before.
We have. Some of this is stuff that we talked about like a couple years ago.
Yeah.
It's not
anything recent, I know, but like, you know, I do remember that name.
So. Yeah. Astarte was accepted by the Greeks under the name of Aphrodite.
Oh.
Yeah. Wow. So we've got Aphrodite, Asherah, Ishtar, Inanna. All these names are the same.
Interesting how all these religions just kind of like meld together, you know, like it's just all right there.
Yep. And they're all like the Queen of Heaven is also like goddess of the moon and fertility and beauty and love. Like it's all mingled together in one big woman.
Because it's essentially the same story, just told in different cultures and retold and retold and retold until it becomes... We've talked about this before, too. The game of telephone, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's just these things have become their own entities in different lands because they take on a life of their own.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Ishtar was the goddess of war and love, and she represented the female principle of fertility, which that's basically what I just said.
Yeah.
Astarte may be the Iron Age incarnation of the Bronze Age Ashira. So the Iron Age would have been after 1200 BCE, and then the Bronze Age would have been up to 1200 BCE.
Right. And that was back, I remember talking about that too, how we were transitioning from one to the other. So,
Yep. So basically, Astarte became Ashira.
Okay.
And they're just all the same-ish.
Sure.
Ashira was worshipped in ancient Israel, as we know, as the consort of El, and in Judah as the consort of Yahweh.
Oh, which, so it made the transition along.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
So I mean, but El is Yahweh. You know what I mean? Like, depending on what time period we're talking about.
Right. I mean, there's no definitive break as to when El ended and Yahweh began exactly.
Right.
It just.
Those two stories, those two gods were like where we get our two different creation stories.
Right.
At the very beginning of Genesis.
Yeah.
One is El and one is Yahweh. And it's like, whatever.
Yeah.
Y'all stupid. Anyway, yes, I'm so like full of disdain. I'm sorry. I just am. I can't help it. I'm looking at you with my 2024 glasses on. I cannot help it.
Yeah.
I cannot take them off today.
Right.
Sometimes I can be very respectful, and other times I'm like, nope, those glasses are glued to my head.
I mean, these things are, it's silly to take these things as seriously as they are taken today.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's silly on level with Santa. Or the Easter Bunny.
Right.
You know, like,
and the only problem that we have with it is that the people that believe in this shit are making it to where the measles are coming back.
Right.
Like, fuck off with your goddamn Santa Claus.
Right.
And get your goddamn shots, you dumbasses.
Yes.
Like, literally, stop believing in magic and go get your fucking vaccinations.
Right, right.
Okay. Get off my soapbox. Okay, there was a temple of Yahweh in Egypt at the time of the Judeans entering Egypt, about the 6th to 7th centuries BCE.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
So that's interesting. And this temple of Yahweh in Egypt was central to the Jewish community at Elephantine, in which Yahweh was worshipped in conjunction with the goddess Anath, who was also named in the temple papyri found in that area as Anath Bethel and Anath Lahu.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Her counterpart in the New Testament, like we're going to get to the New Testament eventually.
She's got a counterpart in the New Testament, huh?
Yeah. Is Artemis. Okay. And in Latin, Diana.
That's in the New Testament?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Apparently.
I've never. Okay.
I mean, they may refer to her. I don't fucking know.
Okay.
Like the Romans, right?
Got it.
It would be the Romans talking about.
Right, that's why I was, yeah, more, okay. All right. Yeah,
so like right now we're talking about like the Greeks and stuff.
Yeah, right.
And, you know, Egypt. But then when we get into the New Testament, that's going to be the Romans.
Okay.
And so, yeah, Artemis would make sense.
Sure.
But in Latin, it would be Diana. Like Diana was of the moon.
Got it. Yeah.
So. She's the moon goddess.
Okay.
So for the Babylonians, the Queen of Heaven was a maternal deity connected with the moon, with family, and with fertility.
Got it.
Which makes sense.
Yeah.
And the goddesses Ashira, Anat, and Astarte first appear as distinct and separate deities in the tablets discovered in the ruins of the Library of Ugarit, which is modern-day Syria.
Okay.
And most biblical scholars tend to regard these goddesses as one, especially under the title Queen of Heaven.
Okay.
So they were separate entities, but only in that the different people spread out.
Sure.
Might have misnamed her, or her name might have evolved differently over here as to over there.
Sure.
So it is the same fucking person.
Yep.
Okay. So, okay. Let's get back into our chapter.
Okay.
So, you know, the men are like, fuck this. We've been doing this forever. And the women are like, and the husbands let us. So fuck off.
Right.
Okay. So then Jeremiah spoke to all the people, the men, the women, and all the people who had given him that answer, saying, the incense that you burned in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, you and your fathers, your kings and your princes and the people of the land, did not the Lord remember them, and did it not come into his mind? so the Lord could no longer bear it because of the evil of your doings and because of the abominations which you committed. Therefore, your land is a desolation, an astonishment, a curse, and without an inhabitant as it is to this day. Because you have burned incense and because you have sinned against the Lord and have not obeyed the voice of the Lord or walked in his law, in his statutes, or in his testimonies, therefore this calamity has happened to you as at this day. So they're like, no, it happened when Josiah knocked all our statues down. And Jeremiah is like saying, no, stupids, it happened, yes, at that time, but it happened because God ran out of fucking patience.
Right, right.
And I'm like, you're both wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
Moreover, Jeremiah said to all the people and to all the women, hear the word of the Lord, all Judah who are in the land of Egypt. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, you and your wives have spoken with your mouths and fulfilled with your hands, saying, we will surely keep our vows that we have made to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven and pour out drink offerings to her. You will surely keep your vows and perform your vows. Therefore, hear the word of the Lord, all Judah who dwell in the land of Egypt. Behold.
Is he going to fuck them up?
I have sworn by my great name, says the Lord. I swear on me.
Yeah.
That my name shall no more be named in the mouth of any man of Judah in all the land of Egypt, saying the Lord God lives. Behold, bitches, I will watch over them for adversity and not for good.
Okay.
He's like, fine, y'all promise you're going to keep it up. I promise I'm not going to even help you.
So basically Jeremiah is cursing them at this point.
Yeah.
He's like, fine, y'all don't want to fucking listen to me. I'm going to make God be pissy with you the rest of my, your fucking lives.
God says he's going to be
whatever.
Pissy.
Jeremiah is the one fucking saying it.
He is. And all the men of Judah who are in the land of Egypt shall be consumed by the sword and by famine until there is an end to them. Boom. Mm. Yet a small number who escape the sword shall return from the land of Egypt to the land of Judah.
Of course.
And all the remnant of Judah who have gone to the land of Egypt to dwell there shall know those words will stand, mine or theirs.
Mm.
And this shall be a sign to you, says the Lord, that I will punish you in this place, that you may know that my words will surely stand against you for adversity. Don't call me Shirley. Thus says the Lord. Behold, bitches, I will give Pharaoh Hophra, king of Egypt, into the hand of his enemies and into the hand of those who seek his life, as I gave Zedekiah, king of Judah, into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, his enemy who sought his life. Boom, the end.
I am really looking forward to our Q&A this week because we are going to cover some history, right?
Yeah, well, I have some notes now.
Oh, okay.
That
are relevant?
Yeah, okay. I needed to look into because I was like, okay, what is happening right now? Like, what time period is this?
Yeah.
All right, so when God says, I will watch over them for adversity and not for good, that was verse 27.
Yeah.
It's possible, actually, that the Jewish community in Egypt heard Jeremiah's warnings and repented because by the time of the New Testament, which we're not at yet, there was a large and strong Jewish community in Egypt. And perhaps they eventually responded in repentance and were spared this judgment.
Wait a second.
That's an apologist.
Yeah, because God literally said, if you don't run away from Egypt, I'm going to punish you and you will die.
Well, he was saying that specifically to that remnant group. People who had already come to Egypt before that and settled in.
But wait, you just got done telling me earlier in this chapter that he was talking to all the people of Egypt. Like, all the people that have been there before
I have no idea.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. Like,
It just depends on what chapter and what verse you're in, babe. And it depends on the mood, and it depends on the pastor, and it also depends on which apologist you're reading.
Right.
Okay? As to who he's speaking to.
Well, and you know what? If pastors and preachers and priests and all these people could just admit that they're not fucking sure...
That would be awesome.
That'd be a step in the right direction. Right?
Yeah.
Because the truth is, you're not fucking sure. See, I'm reading this book and I can tell you 100%, I don't care how much fucking studying you did, you are not sure because no one is sure.
What I got out of this is, wait, so then that shit didn't happen then?
Oh, right.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. That's what
exactly,
I got out of
exactly,
it.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay. So, but let's go on because I have some more notes.
Sure.
Okay. In that last verse, Jeremiah tells them of the judgment to come upon the Pharaoh and of Egypt. Okay.
Yep.
So Hophra or Apres was, and we've talked about him before because he's the guy that's happening right there.
Sure.
You know, right at that moment.
Yep.
He was the fourth king of the 26th dynasty of Egypt.
Okay.
And he ruled from 589 to 570 BCE.
Okay. So like right after the Babylonian people came, like he took over as Babylon. Mm-hmm. Babylon was taking over Israel, basically.
Yes. Okay. Correct. He forged an alliance with Zedekiah to rebel against Babylon. Remember, that was in Jeremiah 37.
Right.
He sent an army in the summer of 588 BCE, but that action failed to prevent the fall of Jerusalem in 587.
Sure.
Okay. Yep. So we remember all that. Okay. Apres's or Hophra, whichever you prefer to call him, his unsuccessful attempt to intervene in the politics of the kingdom of Judah was followed by a mutiny of soldiers from the strategically important Aswan garrison.
Mm.
Okay. Because he had some mercenaries with him.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the fact that they like turned tail and let Babylon go ahead and get their git.
That's what caused the problems with the.
Yeah. Okay. That started the downfall of this dude. Not Egypt, this dude.
Got it. Okay? Got it. Yeah.
A recently uncovered stela from Tepanese records that Nebuchadnezzar attempted to invade Egypt in 582 BCE.
Okay.
But Apres's or Hophra's forces were able to repel the invasion.
Okay.
Which is cool.
So it never actually came to pass what God predicted here.
I got a little bit more, but not in the big way God was shouting about.
Right, yeah.
A civil war broke out in the Egyptian army between the indigenous troops versus the foreign mercenaries that Hophra had.
Yeah.
I'm going to call him Hophra because that other name is more difficult for me.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So the Egyptians threw their support to a very successful general under Hophra's father. This guy had had a lot of success under Hophra's father back in the day before he died.
Right.
This general was named Amasis.
Okay.
Okay.
Yep.
So Amasis quickly declared himself pharaoh in 570 BCE.
As you do. Right.
Okay. And Hophra fled Egypt and he sought refuge in a foreign country. And when Hophra marched back to Egypt in 567 BCE with the aid of a Babylonian army to reclaim the throne of Egypt.
Oh, wow.
He was likely killed in battle with Amasis's forces.
I see.
So he
even became a traitor.
Yeah.
Like this guy, like he was like, hey, I'll work with you guys if you help me get my seat back.
Yeah. Can you please help me get my throne?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it didn't work out for him.
Right. So, I mean, everybody was like, I hate Babylon. And then they're like, Babylon, can you help me a little bit, please?
Right.
Even Egypt. Yeah. So Amasis, that general guy, he married Hophra's daughter to legitimize his ascension to power, and he continued to rule until his death in 526 BCE.
Oh, so he ruled for a good long while.
Yeah, he did, like a good 50 plus years.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was like, what?
Yeah.
And apparently he was like a very successful king as well as a very successful general.
Right, right.
Because, I mean,
he held off God.
Yeah.
That's what I'm hearing anyway.
So scripture is silent on what happened to Jeremiah after the events of this chapter.
They killed him because he's an idiot.
Though tradition offers several legends concerning his death.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
So one legend states that he was killed at Daphne, that one city.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tepanese.
Right.
Okay.
Yep.
Another claims he carried away the tabernacle, hiding it in the mountains where Moses died.
Hold on. The tabernacle?
Hold on. That story is actually recorded in 2 Maccabees, which is one of the books that we actually have listed as
a follow-up type book.
As part of what we're going to read.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
So it's included in our Bible-y thing that we're reading.
Got it.
So,
okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Apparently, according to 2 Maccabees, he picked up the tabernacle and carried it away to Moses Mountain.
I didn't even know the tabernacle was still around.
Right? Like what? What are you talking about?
When did that happen again?
Right? Yeah. So that's interesting.
Wasn't that like it had to be? That had to be carried by like the Levites had to carry it with like four people. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then yet another legend indicates that he was alive with Enoch and Elijah, expected to return as a forerunner of the Messiah.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
That's probably more of a Christian type thing.
Yeah.
You know, how it be.
Right.
So I tend to think that he was probably killed at Daphne.
Yeah. I mean, like, they didn't like him at all.
Because that's where they had stopped, right?
Right.
Like, that's where he was basically delivering this message.
Yeah.
And he was like, you guys all suck. And they were like, really? Okay, yeah. We're going to kill this dude, right?
Right.
Then I'm pretty sure they did.
I'm so done with this guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, and, you know, him being a traitor and a loudmouth. Right,
yeah. No, and it's very, very, very clear to me that there is definite undertones of being a traitor.
Yeah.
Like, he's the people think it. He's alluded to it. Like, I mean, just like it's all there.
Yes.
So.
Yeah, I don't understand. Like, there are 52 chapters of Jeremiah. We're at 44. So there are 8 more chapters of this book. And so do they go back before
who knows?
Jeremiah,
who knows?
Or do they talk about some more Babylonian exile stuff and just without Jeremiah?
Could be.
Or is the rest like Baruch summing up what happened with the history or something? Like, I legit do not know.
Well, we're going to find out soon enough, I guess, right?
I love ending on a cliff note where I'm like, but what happened next? How do we have... Isn't that what I said?
You said cliff note.
Oh, that's funny. That's funny. Sorry, that was my dyslexia brain happening again. Yes, cliffhanger, where I'm like, what's happening next? I don't know. I don't understand. Where are we going from here?
Right. Yeah, well, I guess we will find out soon. So that was Jeremiah chapter 44.
Correct.
Which means that we will be back tomorrow with...
Jeremiah chapter 45.
All right, we'll see you then.
Bye.
Hey, wife, I guess that's the end?
But husband, that's just sad.
It doesn't have to be. We are on lots of social media platforms like Twitter. Our handle there is sacrilegious_D.
For D's nuts.
Oh my God. Stop doing that. Anyway, we're also on Facebook, Instagram, and Pinterest. There's a link to all of our social media sites at our website.
Ooh, we have a website?
Yeah, it's sacrilegiousdiscourse.com, where you can also find a link to our merch shop.
We have a merch shop?
Yep. We have podcast-themed clothing, mugs, notebooks, and more, as well as an atheist and science-themed products.
Wow, our fans should really go check that out right now.
Definitely. They can get in touch with us by sending an email to sacrilegiousdiscourse@gmail.com. But before they do that, we could really use some help.
Oh yeah? With what?
Well, it's not free running the podcast, and we need some financial support in order to get better equipment, which will free up time so we can concentrate on our podcast and our fans.
Okay, so what should they do?
Head over to patreon.com/sacrilegiousdiscourse and sign up as a contributor on our podcast. Supporters there receive additional bi-weekly episodes that we record just for our Patreon members for as little as $2 a month.
Also, we'd really appreciate it if you would like and subscribe on whatever platform you're using.
And Apple Podcast reviews help us out tremendously.
Like and subscribe. Leave an Apple review. Join us on Twitter. Support us on Patreon. That's a lot of instructions. Don't forget to say thanks.
Thanks.
Okay, bye.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.